Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Beyond the Stethoscope, a podcast focused on hospice palliative care. My name is Linda Meeks, and I'm your host for this afternoon. And our guest speakers today are Louise Brazier and Stephanie Collins. Louise is the Bereavement Services Coordinator for Hospice Orillia, and Stephanie is the Community Social Worker for Hospice Orillia. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you for joining me today. So we'll get right into this, if you guys are okay with that. What article did you choose to review?
The article that we're reviewing today is entitled Healing the Hearts of Bereaved Parents, Impact of Legacy Artwork on Grief in Pediatric Oncology. It's written by authors Megan Schaefer, Scott Wagner, Margaret Young, Abby Mudden Swain, Michael Barnett, and Wendy Gray. And it was published on October 4th, 2020 in the Journal of Pain and Symptom Management.
And Louise, could you tell us why did you and Stephanie choose this article to review today?
Absolutely, Linda. Hospice Orillia doesn't currently provide service to children with life-limiting illness, but we found that the overall themes of grief and bereavement, legacy making, and supportive care interventions relevant to our work. This article really speaks to the importance of early intervention and how providing quality supports to individuals during their end of life journey can impact the bereavement journey for those who are left behind.
So, Stephanie, what was the overall aim of this study?
Yeah, the overall aim, the authors had hoped to identify the specific components of legacy making that might mitigate grief in bereaved parents. And so by the word mitigate, they were aiming for, you know, lessen grief or make it better in some way. This study is noted as adding to the overall knowledge base of supportive care interventions that impact the grief journey.
And how was the study actually conducted?
This study was conducted using a qualitative methodology. Interviews were completed with 12 parents and 12 healthcare providers. It was noted that the majority, 83% of the parental participants, were mothers. The interviews were semi-structured with 30 predetermined questions. The interviews were guided by two specific models of grief, the dual process model and continuing bonds model.
Can you actually describe the difference for us between the two grief models used in the study?
Yes, so the dual process model, as described in the article, is a process whereby bereaved individuals oscillate between loss orientation, so grief work, and restoration orientation coping, so secondary stressors associated with bereavement. So in other words, the individual is sometimes confronting their loss and other times focusing on practical everyday items that they need to survive. And this model suggests that coping is affected in a positive way when individuals can address both, kind of going back and forth. The continuing bonds model suggests that in order to process grief, the individual has to have some type of continuing connection with the deceased individual. So some examples of this provided in the study include talking to the person who has died and carrying on their legacy.
Now, Hospice Orillia does fantastic work in grief and bereavement. Could you describe for us what models do you use in the bereavement program for Hospice Orillia?
Yeah, so we use purely a peer support model and a companioning model at Hospice Orillia. So think along the lines of Dr. Alan Wolfelt's companion model and the Mourner's Bill of Rights. We don't pathologize grief. We believe that when someone is bereaved and grieving, they are having a normal reaction to a significant loss. People are matched to trained volunteers who more often than not have lived experience of loss, and they provide peer support. Our experience has shown us that the lived experience of a similar loss is what the bereaved parents are looking for.
We know that it's not possible or even beneficial to compare one person's grief to another. However, are there any trends in parental grief versus other types of losses?
Well, you're absolutely right that grief is very subjective. We never know how the type of loss is going to affect each individual person. The grief response largely depends on the relationship the individual had with the deceased person. However, it has been noted by many grief professionals that the death of a child is inherently difficult, as it occurs out of the natural order that one would expect. In this article, child loss is described as more intense and prolonged, often associated with declines in psychological well-being, increased mortality because of illness, poor health behaviours, marital disruption, and a lower sense of purpose in life. We know that the quality of care leading up to an individual's death, no matter the age or circumstance, can have a significant impact on their grief journey. This article suggests that supportive interventions such as legacy making can affect long-term adjustment in a positive way.
And Stephanie, I have two questions for you. So the first one is, what is legacy making? And the second is, could you give me some examples of what are legacy projects?
For sure. So legacy making or legacy projects is an opportunity for the client and their family to reflect on their life, how it might have affected other people, their relationships, and participate in meaning making, which we'll expand on later. Legacy projects are usually attached to a physical object, which can then be given to family and friends as a gift or keepsake before or after the person dies. Hospice Aurelia has a legacy project program. It's called the Footprints Project. And this program offers legacy-based projects for clients to complete. And there's three different ones. The first is letter and card writing. So this gives clients the opportunity to write letters and cards to loved ones, whether that's future birthdays, milestones, or memories of the times they have shared together. The second is scrapbooking. So many of us have cherished photos around our homes with nowhere to go. So scrapbooking allows clients and families to compile their photos and memories into one place while allowing creativity and decorating the photos and pages. The third project, and the most popular one in our program, is the client's life storybook. So in this project, a volunteer interviews a client with an audio recorder, asking questions about their childhood, adult life, family, and things that give them meaning. And the client completely guides the interview as to what they want to talk about. And these recordings are then transcribed, reviewed with the client, and transformed into a beautiful book with photos by our team. All of these projects are facilitated by these wonderful volunteers who are so passionate about helping people leave their legacy in the way that they want to. Other examples of legacy projects include drawings, artwork, which is talked about in this study, and making teddy bears or blankets from the person's clothing, casting hands or feet. The options are really endless and can be tailored to what each individual would like to do.
Wow, I love those examples. And I especially like the one of the storybook. That's totally awesome and so wonderful for the bereaved people to have that from their loved one. Are legacy making activities common in other healthcare institutions or organizations?
Well, the article we reviewed, Linda, was completed in the States. So in the USA, a national survey on legacy making specific to children's hospitals, 97% of participating institutions reported offering legacy making as a standard of care. In doing some research, we reached out to one of our colleagues at a popular children's hospital here in Ontario to get a sense of what types of projects they offer to their clients. And they shared a list of really thoughtful legacy projects, including lip prints, kisses, hugs made from fabric and decorated, hand and footprints, clay hands and feet, 3D molds, painted art, scrapbooking, heart sound with Doppler or electronic stethoscope, music to heart sounds, music therapy, certificate of life, which is a visual recognition of child's life with date of birth and death, siblings' names, parent names, height, weight, favorite memory, bravery beads, books, and a wish list and bucket list.
That's a significant list and certainly well worth the efforts. I can't even imagine actually having to be one of the staff members or a volunteer that helps to create these legacies, especially from children. Do legacy making projects have any impact on opening conversations about death and dying?
Yeah, so although engaging in open conversations about death and dying with loved ones is beneficial, this study found that many parents still expressed hesitation about starting that conversation. It was noted that due to this, the child might end up being left feeling confused, isolated, and become distrustful of family and care providers. So we know it's important to have those conversations. And the results of this study actually showed that the legacy artwork allowed these conversations to happen more easily. It noted that it allowed families to spend quality time together, share and build memories, be vulnerable with one another, and just open that conversation. Most families noted that they were not sure how to even begin having conversations about death and dying, but having this art project to work through had a safe outlet for those to happen. In my own experience with the Footprints Project at Hospice Aurelia, the legacy books especially are just a really gentle way to begin conversations about what's important in life, what's most meaningful to the person, who's closest to them, and like I said before, and what type of legacy they want to leave to the world. And we actually included quotes from the participants where we could that were in the study. So a participating parent from the article quoted, "We felt like creating the legacy artwork allowed us to talk about tough things without feeling pressured. It helped us to put our feelings out there and to express ourselves. Sometimes you just cannot put your pain into words. So instead of burying them, we used the art to share them with each other." I thought that was pretty powerful.
Yes, it must be so difficult for these parents and their children. We hear a lot about meaning making and legacy projects. What exactly is meaning making? Could you please describe that and what it is?
Yeah, meaning making is a process whereby people try to understand and make sense of themselves, their relationship to others, and life events. It is noted in this study that participants found value in the meaning that came along with the creation of the artwork, including the child's personality, memories with the child, things the child loved, and thoughts and emotions of the child at the time of creation. The parents noted that having this experience allowed for greater coping abilities and ability to process their child's end-of-life experiences. The study also suggested that families who were able to make meaning of their situation reported less anxiety and depression, reduced rates of prolonged grief, and an enhanced ability to heal. The meaning that one parent took from the study was this: the legacy artwork showed that our family is an everlasting circle. Her handprints in the middle of ours represented us surrounding her with love. But at the same time, at the same time, the butterfly she made of her handprints meant that we were giving her the freedom to fly, take her wings, and go to heaven to be with God. This painting expresses what our family was like in our last moment as one, but also tells me that we will all be together again someday.
Oh, that's so beautiful and so heart-rendering. Thank you, Louise.
Sorry for the lack of stoicism there.
No, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. When the projects are completed, what usually happens to them?
This study found that 10 out of 12 families displayed their legacy artwork at the child's funeral or memorial service and afterwards in a prominent place in their home where visitors would see it and were able to interact with it on a frequent basis. The types of interaction that were noted included reminiscing while reflecting on the piece and placing their hands on top of their child's handprints. The projects also allowed for the sense of an ongoing connection, as it was noted that it reminded families that their children continued to be with them even after death. One family described having the legacy project somewhere special and obvious, you know, out where everyone can see it that comes to our house. We want people to admire it. In my own experience completing legacy projects with clients at Hospice Aurelia, I can say that clients and their family members are so excited to show off their books. Many people print many additional copies of their book and pass it out to family members and friends. Clients have also displayed their books proudly to the care providers who come to care for them at their home. I've had feedback from clients' family after the individual dies saying that the book was so special, such a special gift to have, especially knowing that the words in the book and the story was told and crafted by their loved one themselves.
Did the actual completion of the legacy project impact the intensity of the parents' grief?
The study noted that parents indicated a relationship between the legacy artwork experience and their grief. This was based on several factors, including the legacy artwork being a treasured item and prized possession, something tangible to hold, something that included their child's handprints, as well as aspects of their personality and preferences, and the sense of peace and acceptance that the artwork brings to them during their most difficult days of bereavement. The study noted that continuing bonds with the deceased loved one has repeatedly been deemed as adaptive, positive, and helpful in the healing process of the bereaved. Completion of the legacy project was seen by parents of the study as an opportunity to work through their grief. One parent shared, "We attach positivity to it when we use it as part of our child's memorial service or in an ongoing way, and we continue to attach meaning to it. With meaning, there is hope. There is this knowledge about life. It's never going to be the same, but the grief is profound, and it's real and it's hard and it's deep, but it offers us a little bit of hope in reminding us that it was a life well lived, that they were here, that they did make this, and that it was not something that was just made up. And there is hope in that, you know, there is hope in the masses."
When legacy projects are completed by patients, is there any residual effects on healthcare providers that actually do these projects?
Yeah, although this wasn't a major focus of this study, it was noted that the completion of these projects may actually be beneficial for healthcare providers as well. This was noted as being both in the case of a healthcare provider helping a patient complete the project, as well as healthcare providers participating in group art sessions together. The art projects allowed healthcare providers to, in the article it states, process difficult emotional experiences, such as compassion fatigue, burnout, and grief, and others noted that the legacy artwork gave them an opportunity to commemorate the lives of their patients. One provider shared, "It was an important way for us to honor her while she was still here and to show our support and also a little bit of personal expression of our grief for her. Through that project, she developed really meaningful relationships with her care team. And when we think back to that, we can remind ourselves of the special and important moments we shared, even though the outcome was not what anybody wanted." At Hospice Aurelia, our volunteers who are a part of the Footprints Project absolutely love it. Many of them describe it as an honor to be able to witness and help a client share their life story. As a service provider myself, it gives me a renewed sense of purpose to be able to see what an impact this program is having. I definitely think that offering art-based projects to staff and allowing them to be a part of legacy projects with clients would be really beneficial.
Is there a specific timeline to make the completion of a legacy project more impactful?
We know in hospice palliative care that early intervention is really important and that communication about these types of services by all healthcare providers is key. This study's results were no different, noting that both parents and healthcare providers believe that the project should be offered as early as possible rather than being saved as an end-of-life project. It was noted that there was some amount of stress when the project was introduced late. This included negative association with the project from the families and pressure on part of the healthcare providers to ensure that the project was completed before death.
Stephanie, could you please describe what are the clinical implications of the study?
Yes, so several items were noted as being important implications. The first one was early intervention. Currently in the U.S., only 12% of hospitals reported offering legacy making to patients shortly after their diagnosis. And many times this is because nobody wanted to bring it up as it might seem like an end-of-life project. And so it was suggested in this study that to mitigate that, the fears of using the wrong terminology, it may be helpful to refer to the projects as artwork that will mark the child's illness journey as an alternative. Another implication was the importance of providing families the opportunity to share their child's artwork. We know in our work as well, and it was noted in this study, that families have such a large support system when the person is ill. And after the person dies, this sense of isolation can set in. So one suggestion was artwork fairs as a potential healing experience for families. One parent suggested, "We want to tell you the stories. We want to tell you the fun and the times that we did this. It was almost like a secret society that no one wants to ask about." So really giving parents the opportunity, if they want to display their child's artwork proudly and to be able to talk about it with people. Another implication, and like I said before, it wasn't a major focus of the study, but it was noted that it would be important to provide structured time and opportunities for healthcare providers to engage in legacy making activities, as it was noted as beneficial. And then lastly, there was a suggestion that institutions that are offering legacy type projects to hire a full-time art therapist.
Do the authors of the research study suggest that any further research needs to be completed in any additional areas?
The authors suggested that research be continued in several areas, such as studies evaluating coping, continuing bonds, emotional functioning, and satisfaction of services, comparing those who chose to participate in legacy work versus those who declined the projects, other individualized legacy activities besides artwork, other populations participating in legacy making outside of children with cancer and their families. And the authors also encouraged additional research participation opportunities for bereaved parents.
So I have two further questions that I would like to ask both of you. And Stephanie, if you could answer these questions first. What are your thoughts on the study, and did anything ring true to you?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting article to review. It gave me lots to think about in terms of our own programs at Hospice Aurelia and the possibility of adding something more arts-based to our repertoire sometime in the future. It really rang true to me the importance of early intervention with these types of projects. Louise mentioned earlier that the study found that the projects could cause stress when they were introduced too late. And that really rang true to me because I can personally attest to that as a service provider of these types of projects. It's incredibly difficult for the family and for providers when the client dies before the project is completed. This can leave the family members with the task of completing the project while dealing with their own grief. And a lot of times the family members have this sense of obligation to complete it because they know it's what their loved one wanted, and that can be really hard and stressful. So in my opinion, the more time that we have to complete these types of projects, the better and the richer the experience will be for all who participate in it. And so I think it would be so wonderful if all healthcare providers could get on board with suggesting this type of thing wherever and whatever happens to be offered at the institution in the person's area. I also really appreciated the sentiment that the legacy artwork was not just a nice art project, but rather an integral part of the care plan. I think it would be so beneficial for all families to be offered the opportunity to participate in projects such as this.
And Louise, what were your thoughts on this study and what rang true to you?
Oh, a couple of different thoughts, Linda. We're both really grateful that the parents were so candid in their responses and shared little pieces of their, you know, snapshot of their child's life and that took part in the study. And as you know, I support bereaved people after their loss, and I'm very motivated to reintroduce an art component back into the 8-week group. The hands-on stuff really has become a casualty of COVID. We haven't been able to do it, whether we haven't been in person or just from a safety perspective. So once it's safe to do so, we will do it again. In our experience, we witness people who are normally a bit more reserved. They're more likely to open up when they're in the doing piece of something on their course. And I think the biggest thing for me is I would love to have seen the children that were receiving the care and participating in these legacy projects interviewed too. I think their feedback would have been really interesting and likely eye-opening. And Steph and I were talking about this. We were saying that we suspect on some level they would have subconsciously or even quite mindfully been aware of how this was adding like a more positive, more memorable piece to their journey. And maybe it even took their mind off their disease to just do and immerse themselves in something fun with their loved ones.
Thank you so much, Stephanie and Louise. That was absolutely awesome information. And the two of you bring your character, your experience, and just your love of what you do every day when you show up. So thank you so much for sharing that information. And we'll see you soon.